This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, December 31st, 2017. The Feast of the Holy Family, by Monsignor Keith Newton.
You know, one of the greatest fears when you visit a church and you're preaching is that while the gospel's being read, you realize it's not the one you've based your homily on. And that's been my experience this morning. In fact, I think I'm correct in saying the Universal Calendar reads today, the presentation of Christ in the temple. And that's what I'm going to preach about. So I'm not changing it. You're going to get what's given. Anyway, first let me say what a great pleasure it is to be here with you today. I've imposed myself a little bit upon you because my wife and I, who's sitting in the congregation there, have been to a wedding. I conducted a wedding of a young couple who I got to know in England. He used to attend our main ordinariate church in London. He's not a member of the ordinariate, but he invited me to conduct his wedding vows on Friday. So it was a great privilege. So having come this far from England to Florida, we thought we'd make a bit of a longer stay of it. So I've invited myself here with Bishop Stephen's agreement. And we're going on to Miami, which I hope it'll be a bit warmer. Jacksonville was awful. It was as bad as London, really, if not worse. Anyway, just to remind you of the story, you know, our Lord is taken by Mary and Joseph in the presentation in the temple. He is taken by Mary and Joseph, and Simeon and Anna, two old people in the temple, are there to greet the Christ child. And you know, Simeon takes Christ in his arms and says those beautiful words which we call the Nunc Dimittis. And he says, speaking of the Lord, a light to enlighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Now, I don't mind old age, said the famous singer Maurice Chevalier. It is better than the alternative. If one thing's certain, in this life, from the moment we're born, we're all getting older. No matter how much we may spend on cosmetics to try and disguise that truth. You may remember when you were a teenager, you did everything you could to make yourself look older. And once you reach about 30 or so, you spend the rest of your life trying to look younger and usually failing. In less developed societies of our world, age is greatly revered, for the old are seen to have the wisdom of years. Sadly, much of our present society suffers from ageism. We're often, in the business world, people are thought to be past it at 50. One of the marvellous things about the life of the church that we have together is that it is, or at least it should be, a place where all of us, no matter of our age, from 9 months to 90 years, have a contribution to make to the life of the church. Even those members of the church who get so old and frail that they can't get to church still have a ministry of prayer to offer to the whole community. Now that gospel I mentioned to you, the presentation of Christ in the temple in St. Luke's gospel, when after 40 days, the mother of Jesus and Joseph take him to the temple to dedicate him to God. And here we see the Lord Jesus in that story with Mary and Joseph coming to two old people, to Anna and to Simeon. Simeon had been promised that he wouldn't die until he set his eyes on the Christ. Anna, we're told, was well on in years. One translation uses that nice phrase, the days of her girlhood were over. And the Lord came to those two old people, Anna and Simeon, not as a young man with a message to impart to them, but simply as a helpless baby who they take in their arms. So the story involves a baby and two old people. Now, if there's one thing that you and I have in common, other than death and the fact that we have to pay taxes, is that we were all babies once. It's very difficult to believe sometimes, isn't it? But it's true. You were a little tiny baby. We began life in our mother's womb. It was a warm and dark place. We didn't know where we were, but we were secure and we were safe. We absorbed nourishment from our mothers. We grew stronger and took eventually recognizable human form in our mother's body. Then came the end to that existence, when we travelled down that long, dark passage and were pulled out into the light, maybe upside down and crying. For the first time we saw the light, and it probably dazzled us. Our life before birth was darkness. After birth, at the best, it's a mixture of shadow and of light. If we're very fortunate, we're very lucky, we live a life that is bright and happy and joyful. But sometimes shadows cast gloom over us for maybe short or perhaps longer periods. We can't escape those periods of darkness and difficulty in our lives. Sadly, of course, there are some people who live most of their lives in that dark sadness, only occasionally brightened by shafts of light. But none of us can escape the darkness completely. If we live long enough, we'll eventually at some point be plunged into some dark tunnel of anxiety, of illness, of bereavement, of loneliness. Sometimes we're confused. Sometimes we're scared. Sometimes we'll feel alone. Even young people experience this. When we're in those dark times, we remember the light and we miss it. When we're in such a tunnel of darkness, we search for the light at the end. What we need in darkness is a light to see by. And that's what the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ promises you and me, a promise celebrated in that beautiful story of the presentation of Christ in the temple, a light in the darkness. Or as Isaiah says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And the book of Revelation at the end of the Bible gives us a marvelous picture of this. It says the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there. And his servants shall worship him. They shall see him face to face and bear his name on their foreheads. There shall be no more night, nor will they need the light of the lamp or sun. For the Lord God will give them light, and they shall reign forever. There is the promise. It is hope in darkness. When we experience those periods of darkness in our lives, in our families, in the affairs of the world, we can take hope because of Jesus. As St. Paul says in the Epistle to the Romans, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing in life, nothing in death. But the gospel gives us much more than that. It gives us that hope, but it also gives us a light that we can live by now. A light, or a candle, or a match, does not extinguish darkness, but it enables us to see through darkness. It's not magic that makes the darkness disappear. It enables us to see in the darkness, however dimly, so that we can make our way. This story of the presentation of Christ in the temple is linked to that image of Christ who is our light. The light of the world whose coming into the world we celebrated last Monday. Simeon took the Christ child in his arms and said those words that are part of our evensong or compline office, a light to enlighten the Gentiles. See, faith in Jesus is not magic. It's not sentimental, wishful thinking. Trusting in Jesus does not make the dark places of our lives disappear. It doesn't make life easier for us. It doesn't make life easier for our families. It doesn't take away the trials and the tribulations that beset other people. If it did, it would be little more than escapism. But if we walk with Jesus, he does enable us to see, however dimly, in that darkness and to make our way. To believe that the light does shine out and give us strength and the means to go on. The problem for most of us is that we are half-hearted in our faith, that we don't take it complete. We live by a bit of it, not by the whole of it. And no wonder it sometimes fails to sustain when times are difficult for us, for our families, for us personally. William Temple was a very famous Archbishop of Canterbury in the Second World War. And he wrote many good books. One of them he wrote, a commentary on St. John's Gospel. And in it, he says this: either we must confess our blindness and seek the opening of our eyes, or else we must accept the light and walk by it. What we may not do, yet all of us strive to do, is keep our eyes half open and live by half the light. That kind of sight holds us to our sin and our sin to us. But the only way of avoiding it is to look with our eyes wide open upon ourselves and the world as the full light reveals. But this is the surrender of our faith, and pride resists it. So today, on this Feast of the Holy Family, let us surrender ourselves to Jesus more fully. Not to live by half the light, but the whole of the light. Because he is the light to enlighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.